Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
15 will be the airtime, and we are now joined by the outstanding Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue Wet Illustrated. Spectacular work as always, and even though he doesn't want to admit with them.
I'm blushing. Stop.
Sir, your thoughts on that performance last night?
Yeah, I thought it was the actualization of an unconventional belief that was kind of born the last year, right? Like it was the apex. It was not that Penn State hasn't gotten hot this season, not that it hasn't executed the idea previously, but it just did so on the biggest stage in the biggest moment of the season, right? And so you had Jalen Pickett being Jalen Pickett and just dictating the game, surrounded by shooters. And Andrew Funk is, right, the sexy, easy guy to say, like, oh, well, he just got really, really hot. And that's true. No, like, absolutely nothing taken away from him, but it was everyone, right? Seth made a shot. Miles made a shot. Everybody on that team that surrounded Pickett executed and chipped in. Kevin Jogg, 8 points. You name it. It was just this like, in the big 30,000 feet look at what this program is and what Micah Shrewsbury wanted it to be. It was the perfect encapsulation of what that is.
Jalen Pickett was brilliant last night. I know Andrew hit the 8-3, so he's the player of the game. But the best player on the floor was Jalen Pickett because he, and it just goes right back to the opening set of the game. The opening set of the game was designed to do something to get Seth Lundy a shot. And instead, Jalen looked at it and said, no, Kevin. Kevin got the slam dunk, and it got Kevin Jai involved in the game right away. And that's your point guard having the ability. I think the way I phrased it last night to Mike in the post game was the ability to get the temperature in the room in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, let's be honest about what those guys said in the post game that is easy to overlook, but I think demands a ton of attention, which is they were prepared, right?
Oh,
they were prepared.
I mean, Nate, Dick Girardi and I were able to watch all of it, and I'm talking every day, every film session, they incrementally put something else in, review what they had just done, and they put something else in, then they review what they did. It was really brilliant watching the whole thing play out.
Yeah. So when Jalen Pickett talked about what he saw and how he was able to diagnose it so quickly in the game, and then they just fed off of each other. It was all based on the fact that they knew what was coming. They knew what they were going to face defensively. He knew how to attack it. They knew what they were facing defensively. You saw those early buckets. You know, Kevin had a couple of hook shots, kind of, that he got scored on him, but they adjusted. They were able to force Taylor into a 2 of 15 shooting night. Right? Like they were able to execute on both ends of the floor all of the things that from the outside we're all looking at and saying, hey, this is a danger zone, right? Texas A&M gets the free throw line. Penn State doesn't. They ended up basically even. Texas A&M just kills you on the board. And they had a bunch of offensive rebounds. But Texas A&M really never made them pay for those offensive rebounds. They knew what areas they had to be good at, and they were good at all of them.
Yeah, the other part, too, is the two guards, Radford and Taylor. Taylor's really talented. Radford, I've seen before. He's a good player. Not a great player, but he's a good player. Taylor, you know, you watch the tapes. He looks like he's the best guard in the SEC. And last night, they completely had him clamped down. What you want to do in that situation is it's Ortiz and Bowie. And can you keep them to fewer points than shots taken? And last night, like they did with Ortiz and Bowie both times, 30 shots taken, 24 points last night. I mean, that's just really good defense.
Yep. Yeah, and that's an area that I think it is a little bit of a misconception about what this Penn State team is. And certainly they had stretches where defensively this was just wasn't a good team, and they didn't have everybody on the same page all the time and kind of buying into the system. But that has absolutely been the case over the last month, where they have been able to, like I said, execute what Shrewsbury's vision is for that game and that specific opponent. And they've done a particularly good job of taking away the first option, the score, right? It's not just this game. This dates back where you look at a lot of the first option, especially from the guard position, they've been really able to clamp down on those guys and force other people to beat them, and Texas A&M didn't have other guys that could beat them.
And that's the whole key. Penn State's style of play, and you alluded to this in your initial answer, it's different than everybody else, and it's really, I think, tough when you... Now, I went through all the first times that Penn State played teams this year, where especially the one place, and they never got a handle on it. Texas A&M being the latest. What is it about it that, that it impresses you in terms of how different it is and how difficult it is to get ready for?
Yeah, I thought that Buzz Williams, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to him after the game last night, but he explained it pretty well, which is you have a completely unconventional point guard who plays in the paint and is in the center of the floor all the time, right? He gets to that spot, and then he just goes to work. And so you have two options. One is you can guard him one-on-one, and he's going to win. He will beat you in one-on-one, right? He'll get to the bucket, and he will score those easy points. Or you can bring help, and he's going to make the right read. And not only is he going to make the right read, but I thought Williams made an excellent point on this. He's going to make a great pass, right? The pass is going to be to the guy who's open, but also it's going to be in a shooting position. So that execution from Pickett, it's just this self-perpetuating playing off of each other, right? You've got Pickett who's doing what he does, and it makes the other shooters around him better because they're getting their looks, they're getting to the spot. But also, by them knocking down shots, it makes Pickett's life easier because Pickett is going to be facing situations that aren't necessarily as cut and dry as they would be otherwise. So it's so interesting looking back on last season and who this team was. And Micah said it after the game yesterday that they didn't really, as a coaching staff, grasp just what Pickett was, like in totality, exactly the type of player that he was and what he threw in the post, particularly, that, here's the seed of an idea of, not only do you have Pickett who can do things for you, but now there's this transformation, there was this evolution this offseason of changing Seth Lundy into becoming the player that he is today. He's not driving the ball. He's not turning. Like, he has half as many turnovers as he had last year. Right? It's critical. And around the room, right? Miles Dredd has to come off the bench, playing fewer minutes, but has a specialized role that when he's hitting is critical to this team's success. Bringing in Cam Winter, bringing in Andrew Funk. Like, you look around the floor of the players that are impacting the game the most for Penn State, and it all demanded a universal buy-in and an acceptance of role and what they needed to do to help this team succeed, and they're all there. They're all doing and executing what those roles are supposed to be right now.
Yeah, they had more time because to vet transfers last year. A year ago, they had more time to vet transfers as compared to the first season where they were, it was like, hey, just do whatever you can to fill a roster. the best you can. That betting has really paid off. Obviously, one of the big stories here happened on Wednesday when Michael Shrewsbury was up there and he was asked about his future at Penn State.
Yep.
Which, of course, you know, he said that's a great question. To me, yeah. but the key part is everybody keeps looking at that question. I have seen nobody look at the last question. And the last question he was asked, well, he went into, and it is essentially what James Franklin said in 2016, getting everybody to pull the rope in the same direction. That's essentially what Mike has said in the last answer, right? And he talked like a coach that's going to be here next year to be part of that. I mean, that's how he talked, but nobody talked about the last answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, and you're familiar with it, I'm familiar with it, I'm intimately familiar with it because I was paying attention closely to James Franklin in 2021, right? October of 2021. Yep. It was the only thing I cared about was following how and why what was being said was happening. Because you had these two, it's like, this is boiled down to the art of public negotiation, right?
Because you're going to get asked about it.
Correct. And so what are your answers going to be? And I think that if you look at what Shrewsbury's answers have been throughout this process, and particularly over the last week, as this has gotten a little bit more attention and there's more questions being asked about his future, his answers have sounded identical to what James Franklin's answers were previously, right? And so I'm not going to sit here and say that this is done, that this is 100%. He's coming back, and right, I think he has the luxury of being able to say right now, look, Let's focus on basketball, right? This is a once-in-a-long-time situation for Penn State basketball. It is his first opportunity as a head coach. Like, it is the only opportunity for seven seniors who are on this team. And so to give that all of your attention right now, I think, is the right road to take. But also, you're right. I mean, his behavior, his actions, the things that he's saying are very much in line with a guy who sees this as an opportunity to capitalize on this momentum for Penn State basketball and build on it.
And look, when he sits there and he says, I'm only locked in on this team and on Braden and State High, he's not kidding.
Right.
No offense. Guess what I want him locked in on? This team and Braden and State High. he's a father and a coach. All the other stuff will take care of itself when it's done. I mean, I know everybody wants everything done this second, but it'll all take care of itself in due time. Last question. Obviously, Texas is terrific. We know that. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I don't have a great read. Like, I haven't scouted Texas. I think it's just a question of, can Penn State do, like, their perimeter defense, I would imagine, or it has been said, is better than what Texas A&M presented. Are they going to, having just seen Penn State up close and right there, does Texas have a better idea of things that they learned from that game last night that they can apply, right, and that they can flummox Penn State a little bit? Because let's be real, Penn State's lead in the first half dictated everything that Texas A&M did from there on out.
That's right.
Penn State
forced
Texas A&M to not be themselves. So you know, assuming that it is more of a competitive game, Penn State's going to have their hands full. They're not going to be able to make Texas as uncomfortable and out of position and doing things that they don't do the way that they did to Texas A&M. So
Kansas didn't. So
right.
I mean, the Big 12 championship game, Kansas didn't. Oh, look, they're terrific. Okay, and look, they're impressive. They're long, but again, you know, Penn, they do a lot of things Penn State has seen this year from other teams. Penn State doesn't do things Texas has seen all year. So it's, that, to me, is it's going to be interesting in terms of the contrast between the two tomorrow.
I think that it's you know, I don't know how much you're talking about it, but the whistle was entirely different last night from anything that Penn State has seen this season.
I only mentioned it once. I only mentioned it once today on the show, and I said, look, I'll be honest with you, the officiating was outstanding last night. It really was.
Exactly, because it has been so frustratingly inconsistent for Penn State this season. Otherwise, like, if we're going to talk about it the rest of the season, it's not as an excuse. It's just bringing to light the difference and what it means to be able to play basketball as opposed to basketball players being asked to play football in the Big Ten. Right.
Right. So, no, it's, I mean, you can't, I mean, look, football on wood is not entertaining. I mean, I just watched St. Mary's, and it looked like they just woke up Randy Bennett. You're like, what do you want? Oh, okay, good.
yeah, so it is a striking dynamic. It was striking last night. It's going to be very interesting to see if Penn State is able to do what it wants to do, right, to run the actions that it wants to run, to play the style of basketball that it wants to play, that it's designed to play, because its opponents haven't seen it before and aren't familiar with it, and the officials ensure that it can't be mucked up. It's revolutionary for these guys. Like, it's totally transformed what Penn State's able to do, and it'll be interesting. It'll be super interesting to see how that applies on Saturday night.
And I'll say it straight out. This is the best team Penn State's played all season. So I know they played Purdue, but this is the best team they've played all season.
Yep. So. No, and I think that was plain and clear in that Big Ten championship game, right? I mean, Purdue has flaws. Like, this is a serious flaw team that has a lot of potential based on the big guy that they got in the middle there. But, it's a more well-rounded dynamic team, I think, is absolutely what Penn State is going to be facing tomorrow night.
But not unbeatable. All right. Sir, always a pleasure. You are outstanding, and you know I've already told you that privately, but publicly you are. Appreciate
you. Well, I appreciate that deeply. Take care and have fun out there. It's a very interesting and intriguing time to be watching Penn State basketball.
No question about it. Having a lot of fun with it. Thanks so much, Nate.
All right. Thanks.